Welcome to Living the Gospel of Life. We bring you the latest news and information on the life issues to help build up the culture of life. Thank you for listening. I'm Brian Gibson, CEO of Pro-Life Action Ministries.
And I'm Angela Erickson, a board member for Pro-Life Action Ministries.
How are you doing, Angela?
I'm good. I was telling you before the show, we have a new baby in our family. My twin sister had her first baby this past week. And it sounds like maybe you're a grandfather again.
A grandpa for the fourth time. Yes. So little baby was born. And I guess they were both born just within hours of each other.
Yes. That part was crazy.
A week ago or so. Yeah. Yep. So, yeah. I love it. It's fun. So the little baby, of course, I'm grabbing babies and walking away with them all the time already. So when it's my own grandchild, my daughter-in-law's get used to that. But the first baby and even the second baby, it was a little more reticent to let grandpa take the kid because grandpa's going to walk away with the kid.
I would be reticent as well.
But not now. Now we're far enough along. They know I'm just going to do it. So
no good.
No problem. I always love a new baby. So much fun.
Oh, they're so beautiful. Oh my goodness. I just,
absolutely.
It's so weird, you know, having been a mom for now over a decade and then having my twin of all people, having her baby for the first time. And it was so weird holding this newborn baby and being like, wow, I'm not the one in pain right now. I'm not the one who's so exhausted right now. And it was,
I feel kind of good.
It was like, oh, wow, this is really great. I can see why being an aunt is so much fun. I mean, I have other siblings that have kids, but the only other one that has several lives in Texas. So I was never able to be there for the birth of her children. And then my brother lives quite a ways away as well. So yeah, it's just so different. I'm like, wow, I love this little human so much already. I just can't even believe how much you can love another person's child. Yep. Right from the jump.
Absolutely. They just melt your heart.
Oh, love it.
If you've got a heart at all, they're going to melt your heart.
Yes, they are.
So, well, hey, we got a lot of things to cover today, and of course, upcoming events. We are still in the midst of our 40 Days for Life Twin Cities. We're encouraging you, please get out there and take time and pray. Take time to pray anytime between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. Out at the Mega Planned Parenthood in St. Paul, 7 days a week, all through the whole 40 Days for Life. Anytime out there praying is good. Anytime out there praying is good. So take the time to pray. We've had some good results of people getting out there and praying. But we need more. We need more people willing to be out there. So come join us in prayer. And then the last 7 days, starting Monday, March 23rd, coming up real quickly, is our Jericho March during this ending of 40 Days for Life. So from March 23rd, Monday, through Sunday, March 29th, which is Palm Sunday, 3 p.m. each day, we are going to go around the large block around Planned Parenthood and in silent prayer those first 6 days, one time each day. And then on the seventh day, we go around the seven times. And we're just mimicking that biblical story of the March on Jericho. So praying that God would close this place down. So we're out there doing that. And then, you know, we conclude on March 29th on Palm Sunday, and just 5 days later, April 3rd, is our solemn Good Friday prayer vigil. Angela, I've got all the pastors lined up now.
Oh, yay.
So we're ready to go. Excited. Still getting musicians lined up and so forth, but we've got all the pastors lined up. So we're going to start off 9 a.m. opening prayer. So you got to get there before that, because we actually start the vigil at 8:30. So there's time for people to gather. We've got the parking lot again at the College of St. Thomas, right off Grand and
Summit, or no, Cleveland.
No.
Cleveland.
Is it Cleveland? Yeah. Right off that. I'm sorry. Right there. It's the end of Grand Street where it dead ends into Cleveland Avenue. And right there is the parking ramp. We've got that. We've got buses running all day.
No, they're going to shuttle back. Creighton. I think it's Creighton. I'm sorry.
It's Creighton. It's Creighton. Creighton Vandell. So it's Creighton. Yeah. It's straight down Creighton. So, and then the buses, shuttle buses run all day long. They start running at 8 in the morning, so you can be there by 8:30. So all that is all set up. The street's going to be cordoned off. We're going to have the big concrete blocks out there again. Planned Parenthood does not have the other end of the street saved for themselves to do their weird party they did for a bunch of years. So we've got the street to ourselves. Police presence will be there in good force. We're actually paying for that. So that'll be there. And it'll again, the life-size cross. And we've been doing this since 1984. And this is our 45th year as an organization, or we got to our 45th year on March 5th.
Hold on a minute, Brian. You also have conveniently ignored, or maybe haven't shared, that you celebrated 40 years as a...
Well, 40 years paid. Full.
Yeah, full time full. Yeah. With PLAM.
Yeah,
and I believe Deborah Braun, correct, too? Deborah.
Yeah, Deborah is coming up on her 40th anniversary. It's still a month away or so.
Yeah.
So
I feel like that's pretty big news. You have just done such wonderful work over these last few decades. And I know everyone listening is just so grateful for you and all the sidewalk counselors, the way that you've kept this organization going. And I feel like you kind of are this, I don't know, you're one of the OG pro-life activists in the country, but also, I mean, other organizations, your work has been incredibly influential in other organizations, like, 40 Days for Life.
Oh, Sidewalk Advocates for Life began out of one of our conferences, and 40 Days for Life. And, you know, their organization started after modeling after what we do and spending a lot of time learning what we do from us. And there's a lot of sidewalk counseling going on around the country, a lot of activism at the abortion facilities going on that's somewhat in keeping with what we do, and we've had some influence, I'm sure, on most of that.
People deserve to know that. You would never, you would never command that kind of attention or whatever. I think people deserve to know how much of an influence you've had in the pro-life movement over the last few decades. So that's why I bring it up, not to embarrass you or anything, but I just feel like you deserve that recognition.
Well, and I've been with the ministry since the summer of 1981 for almost 45 years myself, as a volunteer to begin with. So been around for a little bit. But I was 2 when I started. So, so people understand, I'm really young yet. So we've got our Good Friday prayer vigil to get back on track all day, 8:30 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon, all day outside of Planned Parenthood. Come anytime during the day, spend an hour, spend a couple hours, spend half the day, spend the whole day, whatever works best for you. And again, free, we your parking coming to our event is free for you. And the bus shuttles, we run them. We don't charge, no fee. Come and join us. Come and pray. It's a powerful time of prayer. It really is. And the pastors will be leading us in scripture and prayer every half hour, a different pastor throughout the entire day. So it's a very powerful event, very powerful event. And then some really good news. In this past week, we have documented 3 more babies saved.
Yay. Oh my goodness.
Absolutely. Yay. And so the first one I want to talk about is the first baby saved in 2026 in Moorhead, Minnesota. Now, we've been there outside that abortion facility, have a presence there ever since they moved from Fargo into Moorhead back in 2022. So we're there. We've had several babies saved at this location. It's a one day of the week killing day at this location on Wednesdays. So having a baby saved is a big deal there. But it also turned out to be the 3,800th documented baby saved in the ministry. So an amazing number there with that. So we're just excited. And then at Planned Parenthood, this was while I was sidewalk counseling Monday afternoon. And this young couple, Hispanic couple, come driving up. They stopped. I offered them the literature in Spanish. I asked them in Spanish if they read Spanish, and I got very affirmative answers. So they took the information. but they still went into Planned Parenthood. Now, they had a small child with them, a little girl with them. But the guy drove out maybe 10 minutes later with a lot of eye contact, which is rare. So usually when somebody goes for an abortion appointment, even when they take the information and they read it and so forth, if they decide to stay for an abortion, they try not to have eye contact especially the husband or boyfriend as they leave and come back. This guy was making a lot of eye contact and nodding to me, and it was warm enough that windows were partially open on the vehicle. So I'm using my Spanish translation app on my phone, and I'm looking up phrases very quickly here and getting a couple of them in mind so I could call out to him in Spanish. And he acknowledged I was doing that as he drove out. And then as he drove back in, I did the same thing again. And then maybe about 15 minutes after he had come back, all three of them come driving out. And they stopped at the end of the driveway for the traffic. They weren't stopping for me, but lots of eye contact, smiles on their faces. So again, I got my app thing and I'm asking them in Spanish if they decided not to have the abortion. I got a very clear yes from that, or I should say C from that, and off they went. So another baby saved there. And then the third one actually was from a while back, but it finally got reported to us, and it started out in January, but it was well after January when this baby was confirmed saved. The woman ended up going with the sidewalk counselor straight to the Abria Pregnancy Center across the street, or almost across the street nearby, never went into Planned Parenthood. Huh. And so she went there, and the sidewalk counselor was able to get her contact information. So they were talking to each other or texting back and forth by phone. And she did say that after she found out that the baby, she was 7 weeks along, that she was still considering having the abortion.
Wow.
But the sidewalk counselor found out what church she went to, because she admitted to being a Christian, and then contacted the church, got a hold of the pastor, and the pastor willingly contacted the young woman. And in that process, she decided against the abortion, yes, for her baby, and is getting the help she needs from her church as well as from the pregnancy center. So,
wow.
Yeah. Just one of those great stories where you, persistence sometimes is what leads to the baby being saved.
Well, I kind of think sometimes women just need to know that they're not going to be shamed by their churches. They're not going to be be left without any legs or support
that the church is really there to give them support.
Yes.
That alone is a big deal. So
yeah.
Well, we got several stories about the abortion pill, and Angela, you had even sent me something by text about this organization, this killing organization called, they call it Plan C, as opposed to Plan B or whatever. But the idea is that they're advertising that they will do mail order abortions into any state in the United States.
And outside of the continental U.S., did you actually look through the...
Oh, yeah, I did. They listened anywhere in the world.
Yeah.
But the first of all, there are several states that have made it illegal to be mail ordering abortion pills into their states.
Yeah.
And yet they're still claiming they'll do any state. Second of all, they're pressing the idea that you can order up your pills ahead of time, even if you're not pregnant. Ugh. To have them on hand, which is a violation of the whole FDA, even the remaining rules we have in the FDA. That's a violation of those rules that are left. These are supposed to be prescribed when needed, not prescribed in case they're needed, right?
Well,
that's a big deal.
And I'm like, wow, how dangerous. Imagine you're in a bad, abusive relationship or something, and the guy finds out that you have these on hand. You know,
Who's to say it isn't the guy that gets them on hand in the first place?
For sure. That is a good point. Yeah. That's so true.
So this is that horrible process we know. So last year we talked about a report that came out, and this organization called Ethics and Public Policy Center had obtained these vast data sets from insurance companies, private insurers, as well as the public insurers, related to abortion and the abortion pill. And they found that going through the data sets, that the incident of significant dangerous side effects for the woman, you know, the baby's being killed, so let's talk, this is about the side effects, the harm to the woman, is 22 times higher than the FDA is saying it is.
Yeah,
and we're talking about crazy. About 11%. That's off the charts. So the FDA does not allow drugs that have adverse effects, serious adverse effects, at a level above, I think, about 0.5%.
Well, and that's what it says on the insert of the drug. So when each drug package has what's called an insert, when you read the insert, it kind of tells you, does this have a black box warning? What type of side effects might this drug induce? And I think it says 0.5% on the insert, which is just a blatant lie. it's crazy.
So the FDA, when they changed what they call their REMS, they changed these regulations that they had on the use of the drug. They changed it in 2016, loosened it up. Then they changed it in 2020, but because of the pandemic. But a federal judge says, no, you don't get to do that. So that was only short-lived. But then when Biden came into office, the FDA changed the REMS to even looser than they would have been during the 2020 pandemic. And that's when the mail order stuff started. That's when we quit having it, you know, in person was taken away, all these other things. Well, going through the data, this organization has found, Ethics and Public Policy Center, some more significant information, which is showing that there is an increase, a significant increase percentage wise of harm to women ending up in emergency rooms and so forth when there is no in-person requirement there. So the lifting in person makes it more dangerous for the woman. And that's now being shown statistically. I mean, it makes sense that it would be.
Women are not even getting an examination. I mean,
correct. And now the other statistic that they're showing is that they're showing an increase in ectopic pregnancies, also a significant percentage increase, that are not being caught.
Yes.
And here's the issue. The abortion drug is designed to cut off nutrition to the baby once the baby is implanted in the uterus, in the womb. It's not designed to cut off nutrition when the baby is implanted outside of the womb, which is what ectopic means, whether it's in a fallopian tube or anywhere else in the woman's body, which that happens. Ectopic simply means it's not inside the uterus. And so it doesn't stop that baby. It doesn't kill the baby as it does if the baby is in the uterus where it should be. So ectopic pregnancies even become more dangerous for a woman who's taken mifepristone, because she doesn't know that information and doesn't know it's a topic in the first place because there's been no examination. So
the rest of the website is insane, though. Did you like peek through it? The reason I sent it to you is the whole thing is astonishing. Like, so not only are they advising women how to get their mail order abortions, how to flout legality, whatever, what happens if you are if you're charged with, you know, getting these abortion pills when you're not supposed to be, or they offer legal help, all of these things. And it's and the other thing that I'm actually just seeing now that I did not see before, because I mean, they have information for who to reach out to if you need legal help. I mean, all these stuff. How often are women being prosecuted for this kind of a thing, for this type of a crime? I mean, they basically say, don't worry about it. Don't worry if it's breaking the law, all of this stuff. But then also I'm just seeing now they have something called period pills, information on period pills. Have you ever heard of period pills, Brian?
I have. I have. Yes.
So I have not. This is the first time I'm seeing about this. And the question is, I've heard about period pills. Are they different from abortion pills? And essentially, they admit that they're rebranding abortion pills into what they're calling period pills to help bring on someone, a woman's cycle, if she suspects she might be pregnant. How it's just so fascinating, this right. shift in language. It says these pills are the same medication used for abortion, but there's no need to take a pregnancy test or confirm a pregnancy before using them as period pills. If someone is pregnant, the pills will end the pregnancy. The same medical and legal considerations apply with using this medication for abortion. It's just like, wow, my brain right. is exploding right now.
Right. And of course, the potential of killing the woman.
Yes.
Again, and she may not even, and like you said, whether she thinks she's pregnant, whether she's pregnant or not, they're telling them to take these things.
That's so crazy to me that you would tell a woman to take a drug like that. It's not like you're taking ibuprofen. I mean, this is a serious drug that has very serious consequences. Let's say if you have contraindications because of stroke or things of that nature. I mean, there are serious things to consider. Even if you're not pregnant, if you're not, you know, some of these drugs are used for other reasons outside of abortion. But I mean, this is insane to me. I can't believe
but not, mifepristone is not. Mifepristone's there.
No, mifepristone is only for, yes, you're right.
Correct.
That is, yeah.
Right. So there is no other indicative use for it other than to kill a baby. And to hand them out like they're candy is yep. just idiotic to no end when it comes to the health and safety of the woman. Again, they're intended to kill the baby. So we're not talking about that part of it. It's still a horrible, evil thing on that level all by itself. But now we're talking about these people who claim they're all for women, which is the reason why abortion is supposed to be so great and good, because they make these mental gymnastics and linguistic arguments that are so false to claim that abortion somehow is good for a woman. Well, if it's supposed to be for the safety of the woman, now they're doing everything they can to be unsafe for the woman to make right. them available. So it really is.
How is this any different than the back alley abortion type of thing?
Well, that's the other thing worse. Too. It's way worse. Oh, it's way worse.
But that's the thing is they talked about back alley abortions yeah. being so dangerous for women because yeah. you know, these abortions weren't happening in a clinical setting, in a safe, supposedly clinical setting. But now they're pushing for DIY abortions. How is that yeah. any different?
Yeah. Well, back alley abortions were very simply the same places that front door abortions yeah. were after Roe v. Wade. They just were coming in the back door. That's the only difference. So same people, same abortionists, the whole bit. So. Well, the Trump administration's Department of Justice filed a motion to stop ongoing litigation in the abortion pill lawsuit that had been filed by the states of Missouri, Kansas, and Idaho against the Food and Drug Administration. And the claim is that they need to have this stay of this lawsuit because the FDA needs to have time to do their investigation into the harm and effect of the abortion pill on women. And in that, they even admitted as part of their argument that they can suspend any drug if they believe there's an imminent threat to public health. And using that argument, their claim was, so let us investigate, stop the lawsuits, hold them, we'll investigate. Yeah. You don't need to go forward with the lawsuit because if we find that these are a threat to women, if that percentage is way higher, like we now are reporting, then they will just simply be able to stop it because it would be an imminent threat to public health. But there it is. There it is.
Yeah.
Now, on the good side of all this, Senator Josh Hawley, Republican from Missouri, along with Representative Diane Harshberger in the House of Representatives, have introduced legislation that would protect women and allow them to sue drug makers from the abortion pill, which is very significant because that's the way you stop these drug manufacturers and distributors like this Plan C organization, is you sue them out of existence. So he's introduced this. They're calling it the Safeguarding Women from Chemical Abortion Act. Likelihood of passing because of the makeup of the U.S. Senate and the rules in the U.S. Senate is really low, unfortunately, but it's a great idea, and I'd love to see it become law. We got a bunch of states, things are going on. I don't think we're going to get to everything here today, but Oregon, they voted to permanently fund Planned Parenthood using Oregon tax dollars because Planned Parenthood has lost federal funding for 1 year. Again, remember July 4th, 2026, Planned Parenthood starts getting their Medicaid money again unless Congress acts to keep it withheld. So that's going on. University of Oregon, the second college in their state program, is now offering abortion pills to students on campus starting this coming fall. They're going to dispense them at no cost to the students that are from in-state, and they're trying to find funding to be able to give them no cost to students from out of state. Again, just dispensing them like they're some sort of aspirin. And also in Oregon, they had their Abortion Provider Appreciation Day. It's their 10th anniversary of doing this stupid thing. But thankfully, the Catholic Archbishop Alexander Sample of Portland came out with a very clear, very strong statement against this, talked about how abortion ends a human life every time, talked about the government should never make a proclamation for such a thing because it's not worthy of praise, called upon people to stand against the killing of the unborn, and so forth. So very good words coming from the Archbishop there. South Carolina, the pro-life advocates out on the streets in Asheville, North Carolina, have won a federal lawsuit. The city amended its city ordinances to allow for them to continue their free speech activities, much like we got out of the city of Minneapolis. And then Virginia now has a bill before it that is intended to, first of all, enact a state FACE Act, similar to the federal FACE Act, but with some areas of ambiguity in the language that make it sound like it might not be constitutional, at least in portion. But they've added to it a bubble zone around people going in for abortions that pro-lifers are not allowed to talk to them. Now, if I understand, if I am correct on this, and I think I am, every one of these little bubble zone things have been found unconstitutional when they've been brought into federal court.
Yep.
Here they are trying to enact one again. Get this. You cannot go within 8 feet of a person going to an abortion facility. Can't even offer to, you can't hand them literature because you can't come in within 8 feet of them without their permission. You can't talk to them. You can't hand them literature. You can't anything. And of course the problem is, how do you get permission without asking for it and without violating the law?
Right.
Yeah. So it, you know, again, the great lengths that some of these legislators go through to keep abortion going. South Dakota, the attorney general won his case against Mayday Health for their advertising the abortion pill business in South Dakota.
Oh, good.
They did it through a settlement agreement. Praise God. I'm glad that happened. And of course, South Dakota, it's illegal to dispense abortion pills from another state into South Dakota. So that's there. And then just really fast, the Indiana Attorney General is appealing a ruling in a state court in Indiana, this very ridiculous ruling by a judge that is claiming that abortion is a religious right. And so it's being appealed, and I think they'll win on that because killing people can never be a right.
That's of horrifying. Any sort.
So, yeah. So it's all the time we have today. Thank you and God bless you.